You know, actually, I have this desire to take off my shoes and come up. Of course, not just because this is a holy land, but also it makes me feel comfortable. But then I went against the idea. It was just too weird. Let's start with a prayer. And I have too many things in my Bible. Let's start with a prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you that we can be here to worship you and listen to your words. Lord, please just quiet our hearts and cleanse our thoughts so that we can listen only to your words and long for you alone. Lord, speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So today we're going to continue our series of In the Wilderness. And last week, I believe Pastor Henry talked to you about wilderness, right? So you remember what kind of condition is wilderness, right? Probably. It's not just a land that is very wide and empty, but it is also desolate and chaotic, correct? So we say there's not much food, not much produce in the wilderness. When we talk about wilderness, probably the first thing we thought about would be the lack of food and water, correct? Yeah? Or what else do you think about when you think about the word wilderness?
Dry land.
Dry land. So if it's a dry land, often it does not have much plants, right? Vegetation. So probably the first thing we thought about this wilderness, the word wilderness, is the poor living condition, that it is lack of food, it's lack of water, it has no shade provided by the trees because there's lack of water, right? Obviously, if a person live under such circumstances, what do? They panic, right? So we should not really look down on the Israelites because they panic and complain. Because if it was me, probably I'd do the same thing. Oh God, why do you put me in this situation? Where's the food? Where's the water, right? In Exodus 16, it actually talks about how the Israelites, well, after they have experienced God's power and God's salvation and God's word and rest in God, after they have experienced all those, they started complaining to God because of the living condition. So they talk to God. They said, God, why don't you give me food? Like, when I was in Egypt, didn't I get plenty of food? Wasn't I able to, you know, eat meat until I'm full? God, why are you bringing me into the wilderness? But did God just punish them and say, okay, fine, you don't want to be here? Then you all die. Did God say that? No, right? God actually listened to them and provided for them. God gave them manna, God gave them quails, and God also provided sweet water for them. God led them into this wilderness of sin so that they could realize that their faith was not based on God's word, but based on their excitement of the past experience. They were excited about, oh, God brought us out of Egypt. And that was all. Once they're out of that excitement, they started complaining. They started panicking. They started not wanting to follow God, but wanting to go back to Egypt. And that's what happened in the wilderness. And sometimes we feel that, oh yeah, you know, that's them. We're not in the wilderness. We're good. We're not complaining about our lives. We're not complaining about the challenges in lives. But God really actually Wilderness is the place where we encounter God. Just like last week we talked about it, or Pastor Henry talked about it. Wilderness is where people encounter God. When you're facing these challenges that you cannot change, it is where God starts to work in your life. So where God usually, that God often bring people to the wilderness so that they can encounter him. But wilderness is also a place where we get to know God and know his purpose for us. And that's the passage where we're going to look at today. That's in Exodus chapter 19. And in the very beginning of this chapter, it says that on the first day of the third month, God brought them up, brought these Israelites up to the wilderness of Sinai, where they camped, and later on, where they received the Ten Commandments. So in verses 4 to 6, which is really where I'm going to focus on today, God told Moses to say to the people, "You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Why do you think God told Moses to say this to people? Why do you think? It is because God wanted to remind the people that he is the powerful God who brought them out of Egypt. And his purpose in saving them was to bring them to himself. Okay, one more time. The reason why God told Moses to tell the Israelites about whatever I just read, verses 4 to 6, is because God wanted to remind the people that he is the powerful God who brought them out of Egypt, and his purpose in saving them was to bring them to himself. Okay? And that's why today's topic is, "You shall be mine." This is the greatest purpose of God's salvation and deliverance. Being God, for us to be God's, is the greatest purpose for his salvation and deliverance. It is also what he wants us to understand through his words today, that he wants his people, he wants us to be his. I must confess that I haven't been spoken English, or I haven't been speaking English for the past 6 months. I've been in Taiwan getting my physical condition treated. So, you know, like, if you don't understand anything, just feel free to ask later, okay? So what does it mean to be God's? We said today's topic is, "You shall be mine." What does it mean to be God's? There are two meanings. Number one, to be God's means to turn toward God. It is a direction or guidance for life. Okay. The first meaning for being God's is to turn toward God, which provides direction or guidance for our lives. And the second meaning, to be God, means to belong to God. It is identity or ownership. Okay, so being God means to turn towards God and to belong to God. Okay, so we're going to talk about it today. Now, God saved his people so that his people would turn toward him, right? Okay, you get it? When he said, "I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself," this is what he meant. I'm bringing you to myself. Turning toward God simply means facing him and move toward him. All right? Face him and move toward him. It is an action. To turn means to return, meaning that you're walking in one direction. However, now you're changing the direction, correct? You, like many of you drives, right? Right? Like if people sitting beside you, especially like Pastor Henry usually drive and I sit beside him, right? When I tell him, oh, turn here, what does that mean? That means he has to change direction, correct? Same thing for you guys. If you drive and you hear the GPS tells you, turn now, what do? You turn, right? You don't just keep going forward, straight, right? You have to change direction when you hear that word turn. So turn toward God. Sorry, turn means to change direction. And toward means facing the right direction. So if I tell you to turn right, you turn right. You don't go to the left. The right is the right direction. Oh, this doesn't sound right. The right is the right direction, right? When I say turn right. If you go to left, then you're in the wrong direction. So turning towards God, meaning that we have to change the direction so that we're facing the right direction, which is God. And often that requires us to reverse the course. We used to be this way, but we said, okay, now you need to turn towards God. That means you have to change your direction and walk toward, facing that right direction. In the very, very beginning, you all know, in Genesis, God created human, correct? God created human, and he saw that as good. It was a good thing. He created human, and God saw it good. And he wanted humanity to live happily with him. Just like the fairy tales, right? You know, they live happily ever after. So he wanted humanity to live happily with him. However, humanity sinned and offended him and broke that relationship with God. So their lives was heading to a wrong direction. And now, God saved them. God provided salvation to them so that he could restore that relationship and bring them back to him again, like bring them back again. When you realize that you are in the wrong direction, would you actually change, like make turns, change directions so that you can go to your final destination? Or would you just keep driving the wrong direction and hoping that, well, since the earth is a ball, like a round, right? You're going to get to that final destination anyways. You probably would change direction, right? Like as soon as you realize that. Because otherwise you have to keep driving the wrong way and then get further away from your final destination. Right? So normally people would change, would turn as soon as they realize that, you know, they were in the wrong direction. And same thing, if we don't return to God, we get further and further away from our happy life. Because we're heading towards destruction. God didn't save us so that we can die again. God did not save us so that we can die again. He saved us so that we might truly live. And that only way to live is to move toward him. Because he is the source of life. He is life. So to turn away from him simply is to move towards death. If you keep driving this wrong direction, you're going to end up dying, right? Turning toward God also means adjusting our focus. It's not just the turning part, but it's also that toward part. So we need to adjust our focus. It's not just enough to walk toward him, but we need to keep our eyes on him. Otherwise, we'll easily stray. Why say that? I don't know if you play baseball or softball. How many of you do? Yeah? Good. You know, Henry and I think he told you last week, we used to lead a softball team, the church softball team. And often before our games, we have to draw field lines, right? Because, you know, it's not painted for you. So you have to draw it. And every time we try to be very careful with those lines, and we try to draw a straight line. Obviously, you don't want to draw a curved line, right? Who wants to play in the wrong field, right? So we try very hard to draw a straight line from infield to the outfield. But every single time when we try very carefully drawing the line by just moving bit by bit, it always ended up with a curved line. Always. We found out that actually, if we can fix our eyes on the target in the outfield, then the line stays straight. So what we do is that you have to look at the outfield and move that chalk thing, that keep moving towards that target. You have to look at that target in order to draw a straight line. Otherwise, if you look away or if you just look down, the line is not going to be straight. And same thing when our kids are younger. I mean, since we play softball, so, you know, and we're Taiwanese, and so we really enjoy baseball. So we send our kids to baseball practices. So when they learn how to pitch, the coaches usually tell them, okay, now you have to turn your head and look at that target and then point at that target and throw. So look, point, and throw. If you don't do that, your ball probably just fall here or there. It's never in the catcher's glove, right? So the same thing. When we say we want to walk towards God, we look at God. He wants us to live by looking at him, like seeing him. Here is God, and I'm just walking towards this target, this goal, this destination. He does not want us just to look at our weaknesses or just look at the worldly temptations. Do you think it's easy to look at God? Man, I tell you, it's hard. It's very hard. Why is it so difficult to walk towards God? Because often we see the world here and we're facing the world. We're moving backwards to God. Have you seen those people walking in the parks these days? Like many of them, they'll walk like this. I think they were just doing some sort of exercise to train some muscles. I don't know. But I've seen many people doing that these days in the parks. And the thing is that, just like I said, if we're looking at the world and all the temptations and all the whatever things that we desire, we're just looking at them, and then we're walking towards God, which is in the opposite direction, of course it's not going to be easy. The best way is just turn completely and walk toward God. Right? We said it's very difficult to resist the world's temptation. We said it's really difficult to say no to our lust. We said it's really difficult to live a godly life. Why? It's just because we're not fixing our eyes on God. Right? So now, let's adjust the focus. Let's see him instead of the world. So this is the first meaning of being God's. We need to turn to the right direction, and we need to fix our eyes and walk towards God. And the second meaning is to belong to God. We said earlier it's an identity. God wants us to be his treasured people. Just like a child to a parent. You ask your parents, you ask yourself if you're a parent, okay? Let me ask the parents here. Are your children very precious to you? Say yes or no. Say no if you raise your hand. Like, if you say no, raise your hand. No, right? Like, everybody. Like, all the parents think their children are precious to them. And if you're kids, and if you don't have your kids, ask your parents, am I precious to you? You know, sometimes we told our kids that, you know, we had you because of accident. It wasn't planned to. And they say, so do you regret having us? And our answer is never. We never regret. Because you're so precious to us, and we love you so much. So that's not the key. But God wants us to belong to him as his treasured people. Just like his child, like his children. As his children, we're precious to him. But as his children, it also means we must truly obey him. We must truly obey his word and keep his covenant. It's not just lip service, okay? You need to know that. Like our older son, often when we tell him to do something, he say, okay, I never did. He never does it. And when we asked him, like, how come you say okay, and you never do? And he said, well, I only say okay, because I recognize what you said. It didn't mean I said I was going to do it. All right, obeying God is not just lip service, not just okay. Obey God is an action as well. Just like turning towards God is an action. Obeying God is also an action. When we don't obey, what's going to happen? God is going to discipline us, right? Because God says those who he loved, he would discipline. It's just like Pastor Henry often tell our kids. Like he always say, you know, I discipline you because I love you. Or else, why don't I just go across the street and discipline the neighbor's kid? Right? Parents, right? Why do we bother if we don't love the people? Same thing, if God does not love us, why does he discipline us and give us chance to repent? If he does not love us, just because we are his treasured people, just because we are his precious children, he disciplines us. He wanted us to obey his will because they are good for us. They are good for us. But he does not want to force us to obey his will because he loves us. You know, as parents, I can tell you that when my children obey my will because they love me, I will be very, very happy. I tell you that. And same thing, God is doing the same thing here. He wanted us to obey him just because we love him. We don't want him to be sad. I tell you the experience, like the story of my boy. When they were little, we usually tell them to finish whatever I put on the plate before they can leave the table. And most of the time, they're really quick. Like, they eat quickly. But sometimes, when they did not like the food, they eat very slowly. How many of you do that? Yeah. So, but every time when that happened, I would just pretend that I was really sad. I say, what? You don't like my cooking? I'm so sad. And usually they would eat the food right away and try to comfort me and say, Mommy, your food is great. Don't cry. We love you. Of course, I don't do that often, you know, just occasionally. And they knew that I was just pretending. However, because they love me, they were willing to do that. They were willing to obey my will. So what I was saying is that God wanted us to be his precious children, not just because of that, the name of being God's child, but also because he loves us so much, but also because he wanted us to love him back, to show that he loved us, or we loved him by obeying him. As children of God, we obey God because we don't want him to be sad. And sometimes we want to obey, but don't you find obeying God is difficult, right? Or sometimes we really want to obey God, and then we became overconfident of ourselves. We became overconfident. Yeah, you know, I love God, so I'm going to obey all his will, and all these temptations mean nothing to me, right? And I will put myself in the temptations, and I know I can do it. Is that smart? No. We became overconfident of ourselves, but we forgot that actually God told us to stay away from those temptations. He does not want us to fail, but he wanted us to just simply rely on him, just like a child relying on his parents. God wants us to rely on him because we trust him, like a child trusting his parents. God wants us to belong to him, to respond to his love, and to obey him out of our love and trust to him. Okay, one more time. God did not want us to be his child just so that, you know, we have this privilege or everything. But God wants us to be his children so that we can trust him and obey him out of our love to him. Belonging to God, it also means a kingdom of priests, which means the entire Israel is to be a bridge between God and people. What's the responsibilities of priests? It's not just, you know, offer sacrifice. That's not just the sole responsibility of priests. A priest's responsibility is to bring people to God, to bear their sins, and to restore their relationship with God. God chose Israel not because he loved only them. He chose Israel not because they're good and successful. God chose Israel not because they have more people. God chose Israel because he wanted to show the world that he has everything planned out. God chose Israel because he wanted to show the world that if they follow him, he will be with them. This is why God chose Israel out of all these other nations. Yes, the whole world is God's, but God is giving us an example so that we can understand what's happening and so that we can see his character. Also, belonging to God means to be a holy nation. God is holy, we know that. So as his children, we need to be holy. Otherwise, you know, people might question you. You say you're a child of God, you're a child of God, but you don't have that holy DNA, do you? We need to be like God, right? We are children of God, so we must be like God. God is holy, so we must be holy. If we claim that we are followers of God, if we say that we are children of God, but we live in sin, how can others believe that God is holy? Just like if people don't know you and they look at you and they see that you are very tall, they will probably guess, right? Hey, your parents must be tall. That's why you're tall, right? Or if you're very pretty, they look at you and say, hey, your parents must be very pretty so that you're pretty. People don't know about God. They don't know God. And that's why we need to be holy, so that people can see us and say, hey, then the God that you trust, the God that you believe in, must be holy. Right? The whole earth is God's, and Israel's responsibility as a kingdom of priests and holy nation is to witness holy living to the world, so that the world would know who God is, so that they can bring the world back to the reconciled relationship with God. We mentioned earlier, we were walking towards the wrong direction. We were in the world, and God wants us to be His, so that we need to turn back. And not just that, we also need to witness God, so that the whole world can turn with us. We can bring them back to this old, new relationship with God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who calls you out of darkness into His wonderful light." So like in Exodus 19, verse 4 to 6 that we just read, like the Israelites, God also chose us, which we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 that I just read to you. God chose us so that we can be to Him a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. It wasn't just the Israelites, but it is you and I. These are our identities. We are precious possessions to God. We're the treasure possession to God. We are the royal priesthood. We are also a holy nation. These are our identities, and with these identities, we are to obey Him, to witness Him, and to bring people to Him. These are our responsibilities that follow with our identities. So this is the second meaning of being God's. We have a new identity now, that we are His children. We are the priest. We are the holy nation. Now, brothers and sisters, God save us so that we would turn toward Him and we would be His. We will belong to Him. Turning toward Him gives us directions, and belonging to Him gives us identity. Just like I said earlier, turning toward God provides directions and forms. Turning towards God provides directions and forms the foundation. Foundation of what? Foundation for a life that's honoring to God's purpose. This is the direction. This is the foundation where our lives should be based on. And also, belonging to God means discipline, living holy lives. Belonging to God means discipline, living holy lives. And it also means serving as witness to God's characters. So we say God is love. If we don't love, do we provide witness to God's character? If we say God is life, and we don't live, if we say God is life, and we live like a dead person, do we provide witness to God's life? So we must walk towards him so that we don't stray, sin, or become slaves to the world. And we must belong to him, accept his discipline, and live holy lives so that others can know him. This is really not a burden to us. This is really not a burden to us because God said, his yokes are easy, right? It's not to be a burden to us because God wants us to rely on him as his children. So all we need to do is just trust him. All we need to do is just trust him. Know that by doing his will, he is going to provide for us. Let's pray together. Father God, it might seem so difficult to follow your will. It might seem so difficult to turn towards you. It might seem so difficult to bring people to you. But Lord, help us that we can really trust you. Help us so that we know how to love you. Help us when it seems just like we're in the wilderness and we have no clue about what to do or where to go. But Lord, help us that you provide us with your direction and lead our ways. Lord, keep reminding us and keep renewing us so that we can be yours, not just walking towards you, but also belong to you. Help us to recognize our directions for life and help us to realize that our new identity in you. Lord, help us. Help us because we cannot do it by ourselves. So Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.